Welcome to Fancastic, the fan podcast reviewing your favorite shows. I'm your host, Lauren Galloway. This episode is part two of our writer series with psych writer Britt Hilgers. My team and I had the pleasure of interviewing Britt the day after her first psych episode aired, Juliet Wears the Pantsuit, and we had such a good time interviewing her. Part one of the interview is on iTunes, and that interview covers just cool things to know about Britt, where she went to school, where she grew up, and how she got started writing on psych. Part two of the writer series will specifically focus on her episode, Juliet Wears the Pantsuit. So we get to ask her some great questions. For instance, what type of music was she listening to when she wrote the episode? What was it like working with director Jennifer Lynch? What are some funny things she enjoys about Gus and Sean's relationship? What it's like collaborating with the other writers on the show? So tune in to our second part of this podcast, psych writer Britt Hilgers.
So I guess we're gonna just get into the episode questions about the specific episode that you wrote, sure. Which was fantastic, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
And just so funny. It was just so funny all the way through. And I had several moments where I had to pause. I'll just tell you a little story. I work nights, so I usually can't watch till I get home. My friend texted me about 10:15 and said, my friend Kristen, so she's listening. Hello, Kristen. She texted me, and I can quote her because I wrote it down because it was really funny. Anyway, I can't find it. But she said that the Buffalo Bill was the funniest thing that she's ever seen, and that she it literally murdered her. And she said she rewound it enough times to be qualified as insane. So I didn't when I got home, I kind of forgot about it because it was like hours later, and then I got home and I was like, oh, and I just like, I larded, I like laugh and farted, like it was like it was so funny, like I couldn't stop laughing.
That is awesome.
And I thought that was like the funniest thing that I was gonna see, but then you pulled out Blue Ivy Carter, and Gus's reaction, and then I like I charted, like I choked, laugh, farted that time.
Wow, just everything coming out of
me. And I like that actually like kept me, like I was falling asleep and like giggling while I was falling asleep.
Aww.
I kept seeing his face, and like that was just, those were two amazing moments.
Well, thank you. We could not stop laughing.
I bet you had to do that multiple times.
Oh my God, because James like just, he kind of improv that more, you know, he just went with it. And we're like, this is awesome, and we were dying laughing in the other room because that's where we were stationed in the other room while they were shooting, and like we had to cover our mouths to like, oh my God, you know, it was just so funny. And then I remember when all the footage came back and finally Steve, our boss, and the producers Kelly and Chris, they saw it. They were just like, "Oh my God, what is this?" But they like liked it and they thought it was funny.
It's,
but they also
amazing.
Were freaked out by it.
It's really, it's so spot on that it's almost creepy.
Right? Yeah. And like my favorite is when Maggie says, "Don't answer any questions about lotion." Like she totally improv that.
Oh,
like,
really? That's awesome. Amazing. That is so great.
Yeah, they had a great, they just, yeah, they're awesome.
That was actually the second Blue Ivy reference that I've heard this week, but that was by far the funniest.
What was the first one?
This web series that I'm obsessed with called Burning Love, that's directed by Ken Marino, and it's got a bunch of improv people in it, and that was a question on the show, and I didn't know the answer, and then 2 days later I watched your episode, and I think that, I don't know if that made it funnier or not, but it was like, it definitely didn't hurt, because I was like, Blue Ivy again?
Awesome. Yep, that's so funny. Yeah, and she's trending today, and it's like, what?
His, just, got Dulé's reaction to that was just what sold it, though. That was...
I was so happy to do it.
It took me by surprise when he was like,
right?
No pictures.
Yeah. He really went for it with that, so I was happy.
Okay, so you already said you were married, so you don't have a roommate now, but have you ever had a really horrible Craigslist roommate experience?
No, I have not actually, but I did. I have gotten roommates off of, you know, like websites and, you know, boards and things like that. And I roomed with dudes, all dudes in college, and they were like all grad students, like 5 years older than me. So it was like a weird living situation, than more so weird than scary. But I know I've never had a bad experience, which is. Woo! Thank you. Yeah. All my roommates have been wonderful.
That's good. I had a roommate that stole money from me.
Oh my god.
And she used to eat my leftovers that I'd already eat, like I had just a bowl of something that I just covered up for later, and she would eat out of the bowl that I've already eaten out of. Yeah, it's really strange. I don't. That was off of Craigslist.
Sorry, Stephanie. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Lisa, I told your grandmother not to eat my pasta anymore.
She's going to listen, by the way. She's going to be like, she's going
to know.
My roommate in college did steal my Snatch DVD. That was bad for me.
Your Snatch DVD?
Not cool, yeah. I'm still mad about that today, even though I could probably watch it for free online now.
You can also probably buy it for
$1.99. Exactly.
But still, she stole it.
Yeah, at the time, I was so offended. You know. But anyway, so that's my only bad roommate.
That's pretty bad. Do you personally have an aversion to going to restaurants or bars that use a Z instead of S at the end?
Yes, indeed, I do. But there wasn't that much inspiration for that bar other than I wanted it to be a different kind of bar than just your regular old, you know, cocktail place or bar. I wanted it to be kind of like a Fat Tuesdays. If you guys have ever been to that place,
mm-hmm.
like the slushy drinks, you know. And I was, and the scene kind of had, we kind of had to play like that a bunch of douchebaggy dudes kind of went there, you know. And like the character Laura, like she didn't really know anybody in town. She didn't really know any cool places. So she's like, oh, let's go to this bar, you know. But, like it had to be like some place that wasn't super cool or awesome. So I was like, what would be a stupid name for a bar that would
Chillers?
Chillers. Oh my god, let's get a Chillers.
There's actually a place called Shots with a Z.
Oh my god. Oh wow. With a Z? Yeah, that's a
story. So I actually wasn't sure if Chillers was a real place or not, because I do know of a place called Shots, so
no, Chillers is not a real place. I'm sorry. It makes me laugh every time I say
Chillers with a Z.
It's so ridiculous.
Sean is so offended by that, so I didn't know if that was you channeling your anger toward Z words,
you know,
or
we had to make fun of it somehow, you know. So it was that having James or Sean not having aversion to that was perfect. So.
Yeah, that it fits in perfectly.
Exactly.
So one of my favorite Gus manner, or one of my favorite manners on the show that has kind of taken on a life of its own. Is Gus when he puts his arms under his armpits and puts his arms out like that and just, you know, that's he's catching his breath. So do you have something that one of the characters does or says that's been recurring, that's one of your favorite things? It doesn't not necessarily have to be from this episode. It can just be in general.
Yeah. Well, I always go right to Gus. Like, he like, the thing he does, like, I don't even know if I'm doing it right. Do you know what I'm talking about? But,
yeah.
Come on. You know, like he does that little thing with his neck and like does the little. And it makes me laugh every time. And so it's teeny, you know. But,
that's a good
thing.
One too.
Yeah.
A little
if I think of something else. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I also like that Woody's always drinking out of a straw.
Yes, he is. You're right. I didn't even
And know. Sometimes it's a Twizzler straw.
Yes.
Which is amazing, because I do that still as an adult.
Do you?
Yeah. Yes. Not with as much style as Woody, but.
Well, who has as much style as Woody? Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody can compare.
I got one more question. So this episode, I thought, had just such a flawless blend of comedy and then awesome, like really awesome action fight scenes. Is it difficult as a writer to transition back and forth while writing those scenes, because they're just so different in style and tone, but they, you know, it's just like, it fits together so well.
Well, No, I mean, it was kind of like a nice back and forth, you know? You get to write, because that first scene in the episode is so heavy, you know? And that, like, it was nice to kind of, like, go back and forth between having the comedic scenes and having, you know, some of the more, the sadder scenes, and then, like, the kick-ass scenes. So it was just, like, it was a nice breather in between. I liked writing for all of them. And it was like a seamless process. I didn't really have any, like, oh, God, I gotta write the action scene. I don't know. Like, it was just, like, oh, it just, I don't know. Like, it just all felt good.
I think that's one thing that is special about Psych is that there is so much of everything in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you do get
so we're kind of like,
yeah,
we're kind of like used to it. We're used to having to write like everything, you know. So I guess I was like, yeah, no, because every episode has to have a crime. We have to solve it, and we have to be funny, and we have to service like six different characters. I mean, it's a hard show to write, you guys. I'm not kidding. Like, it's one of the hardest shows to write for, and I've heard that come from the mouths of, you know, people, writers on my show, you know.
You guys make it seem so easy.
it takes some time sometimes to crack. The funny never is hard to get to. It's always just, like, cracking those little clues about each of the case, you know. It's just, like, something, it's hard, those are the things that trip us up sometimes.
Yeah.
So if you can remember at all, like, what's been, like, one of the hardest episodes to finish the script of?
Oh, I know. well, not the script, but, like, the hardest, because what we do is we all come up with the episode together in the writer's room, and we break the episode, basically just coming up with every single thing that happens in the teaser, act 1, 2, 3, 4, and the tag, and so the episode that was the most intense breaking session ever was 100 Clues. Because, you know, because, I mean, literally had 100 clues. So we had to come up with three different endings and make sure every clue tracked. And, you know, it was just, I mean, it was an amazing process because we all knew how awesome the episode was going to be. We just knew it. Like, oh, we just, you know, when you're in the room, you just feel it. You just know it's going to be good. We just felt it with that one. But it was so tedious, like, making sure that every clue lined up on that one. It was tough.
Man. One giant puzzle.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. But Todd Harthan, the writer, he's amazing. Like, if anybody could write that episode, it was him. I mean, aside from Steve, of course. But, like, he just...
I know, we all loved it, so...
Yeah, and it's one of my favorites. It's one of my favorites.
It was fantastic. I'm a huge Clue fan, so that was just like...
There you go.
We've been waiting because it was announced like 2 years ago there was going to be a Clue episode, so we've just been waiting.
Yeah. I was just sad that, like, you know, Tim Curry had already been, you know, a part of Psych, so you can use him, but, like, oh my God, Garrett Morris and Clisby.
Yeah.
I still say that to people. Like, I'm, you know, in a show right now, and every time I pass one of my other cast members backstage, I'll, like, quietly hear Clisby. I'm like, shut up.
Shut
your mouth.
So. Yeah, like, oh, I love Clisby.
Yeah.
That's actually one of our writers' grandfather or something. Like,
Saladin.
Or something.
Is it his relative? Uncle.
Oh, that's
crazy.
Yeah,
exactly.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm going to sneak one more question in before Lauren takes over.
Go for it.
If you had written it in the script, what would Woody's safe word have been?
Probably some, like, weird sci-fi movie, like Logan's Run, or, like, I don't know.
And would you need a different word for each lady, for the grenade and the non-grenade?
Well, so, like, there would have to be two? Yeah, you're right.
Maybe. Well, Logan's Run could be Logan's Run.
There you go. Yeah, it would work for both.
I'll take that.
Okay, cool.
So how did the episode come about? Did you ask to write this episode, or did they give it to you?
So at the very start of the season, we knew that we were going to do some interesting things with Juliet and Sean, that we were going to have Juliet find out. And so the day after Steve told me that I was going to get to write my own episode this year, which I freaked out about, first of all. Anyway, and then the next day, like, I was like, okay, I gotta start coming up with what I'm gonna write. You know, like I gotta show them that I know what I want to do. And so I was like, okay, so Juliet and Sean are gonna be moving in together. Like, what's the natural progression of that? Okay, Juliet's gonna need a new roommate, single white female. Oh my god. You know? So, like, it was just like, then I just ran with it, you know. And we the day that we actually like came up with a lot of it was the day we went to Santa Barbara on the train at the beginning of season seven, and it was just me and Bill Callahan sitting in the train just talking about my idea for it, and he just like latched onto it right away. He's like, yeah, okay, and what if we do it with this way or that way, you know? And so we kind of just like came to be, and then we all sat down to eat at this Mexican restaurant, and Bill like kind of pitched out what we'd come up with on the train, and James was there, and all the writers were there, and it made me look really awesome. So that felt good. But that's how it came to be, and I couldn't have been more happy to get this episode. Like, everything just lined up for me. It was crazy. So happy.
Sometimes when it's right, it's right. Yeah, it just works out.
Exactly.
So was it your idea the whole time to make her not a crazy person? And to make her boyfriend the killer, or did that kind of develop as you wrote it?
Well, we knew that, like, because the obvious was going to be, it would be too obvious, you know, if she was the killer, you know.
So yeah.
We tried to backtrack and be like, okay, well, it started out as single white female, and we're like, oh, well, maybe this is like kind of like sleeping with the enemy, you know, like, why is she doing this? Why would she be stealing people's identities? Why would she be on the run? Oh, yeah, you know, like, she's running from an ex. She's running, you know, from... So it just kind of was spurred that way.
Yeah, I love that was the end, that was the twist.
You never
wanted to be too predictable, and
yeah.
I thought that was perfect.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I guess I wasn't even thinking about that. Like, I wonder if they didn't know who it was until the end. Cool, okay, cool, nice.
So, who wrote the footwear mullet line?
Oh man, that was Mr. Kel Cahoon. He came up with that joke in the room, and we just were like, that it's just got to go in. It's got to be in there, and it's just be funny. And Kurt wearing the loafer and the sneaker, it's just seeing it in person, I just couldn't stop laughing. He was such a great sport about it.
Kel's probably written a lot of mullet lines on King of the Hill. So
right, exactly.
First thing that he would think of course, would be a mullet.
right, exactly. Wow, you guys know everybody's credits on this show. Very good.
I'm a comedy nerd. I know.
Gotcha.
So, to me, Kimberly's apartment looked a lot like the set from Last Night Gus, when you guys showed Gus's apartment. Is it the same or no?
You know, I'm actually not sure. I do know that we shot in a building. I think we shot in the same building that we did the yoga studio scene in.
Okay.
So I don't think I'm not sure. I'm not sure. You have to ask Andy when he shot that scene. I'm not sure.
You know, it's funny though, Lauren. Like today, like I spent my entire lunch break. Like after I saw Lauren's question there, and I spent like my entire lunch break like going through Netflix and trying to like compare. And I was like, well, I think they used this couch like 500 times in the series. But, like, I don't think it's I don't know.
Lacey probably did a side by side playback with like charts and graphs and like arrows.
I wish you guys could see like the I took like screen caps of like living rooms and things, and like I felt like a big nerd. I'm sure my coworkers thought I was crazy.
That's amazing.
No, that's
I mean,
awesome.
If anything, like the set of whatever house Maggie and James, like not Maggie and James, of you know, Sean and Juliet are living in right now, for whatever reason, looks a lot like the house that Marlo lived in before she went to prison.
Interesting.
I don't know. It's weird. I know more about that now than I should know about. I'm taking screen caps of houses.
We do redress some sets, yes, but I'm not sure about that one, though. Yeah.
I don't know. We're going to have, like, people tweet us, it's actually this.
It's not called an ankle holster.
Yes, it is.
I have a weird thing with people's comments on things. Like what? When people make comments on other people's comments, like if
they'll you get
post
it wrong.
Something, yeah, they'll just like zero in on the most ridiculous aspect of what was said, and it'll just be like, that's not what it's called, and just be like this anger, this like spewing anger all over the internet. Just makes me laugh, and then
there's
I like
no
to take
filter.
And write,
no
and
filter
write about it.
No, there's not. So, do you just share a little bit with us about working with Jennifer Lynch, and specifically, were there any collaborative moments between you and Jennifer, or did she just kind of work with what you had written, or did you guys kind of develop some things together? How did that work?
We didn't even know that Jen was going to direct my episode until like I don't even know, like 3 weeks beforehand, because somebody else was slated to direct the episode, but for whatever reason couldn't do it, and I guess everybody was just like, Jen Lynch would be the perfect person for this episode in particular, and then so we were just like, and so Steve, you know, he made it happen, and when I found out that she was directing it, I squealed so loudly. I was like, I was so excited, because one of my favorite episodes is Autopsy Turvy, and she directed that one, and it just, she has such like a unique little style, and she brings like that extra, you know, flavor to the show. It just works out really well. And so how did we work together on set? We first started out over email, you know, just like talking about like questions that she had about like certain scenes and like logic things, and you know, just like every director talks with the writer about that stuff at first, and we hadn't met yet or anything, and so like we took care of a lot of that stuff online and did rewrites, you know, through that, and then when we met her, it was just like we knew each other. It was just like we like Jen, and she's like, Brit! And it was like we had known each other for years, and like we hugged, and we were just so excited to be there and to be working with each other, and like having like this female girl power like episode, and like a female director, female writer, like female A story. Like it was just, we all felt so special, and she was so great. And the part of the question was the collaboration, right?
Yeah.
I'd say that every scene is pretty much a collaboration, because, I mean, and not like so much in the writing, but just like the way like she
teamwork.
Needs to shoot. Yeah, like she needs to shoot things a certain way. So like she'll be like, hey, we need to, you know, I want to put the blood spatter under the coffee table instead of over here, you know, and then she'll tell me why, and then we'll like, you know, it's little things like that, but. Also, like, some big things, too, like, you know, we were in a pinch, and, like, we needed an alt line, an alternative line to one of Laster's lines in the Owl's Nest, and, like that, she just was, like, she just came up with something, and we were, like, that's it, do it, let's go, you know, so she definitely, like, she's so funny, like, you would, oh, my gosh, she was, made me laugh so much, and her daughter was on set, too, the whole time. Sid Lynch. She's we're like soul sisters. I love her. She's so great. She's just like her mom too. And they're like best friends. It was the cutest thing to see. But
they probably dress up like Lord of the Rings characters together.
Right.
You know?
I'm glad to hear that she's funny, because she terrorized me when I was younger with Boxing Helena.
Oh yeah.
That movie wrecked me for years, and I was like terrified.
Dude, yeah.
Being subbed in a box.
Yeah, I still haven't seen Chained yet, but I hear it's pretty gruesome. She's you wouldn't know it, right, from her body of work, what she's done. Like you wouldn't know that she's like super funny or anything, you know. But she's like so funny. We were just laughing all the time, and we had we started to play these characters called Ronnie and Deb. so she would call, she was Deb, and I was Ronnie, and we would talk like this. I don't know why, we just started it.
Because why not?
I love it.
Yeah, because right. so we were like, we're going to come up with our own like talk show called Good Morning? Good Morning?
Good Morning?
With Ronnie and Deb. Yeah. Good morning?
Awesome.
Is it morning? And like my whole thing, like Deb says a bunch of things, and I, like my response to them is always what? It was like this whole thing we had going. So yes, we did get along, and yes, we were still talking. We love each other.
I love that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I'm not getting here. Lucked out.
Yeah, out of all the directors that you would get, Jen, and that's so cool.
I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great collaboration. So.
Thank you. Yes, it was the best. I loved it.
So I loved all of the nerdy things that Gus knew throughout the episode. And we've seen that before. We've seen Gus know super random things, but I felt like he just kept hitting it, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like Gus is their Google.
Yeah, no, that's so funny that you say
like,
that.
What's this area code? Oh, that's, you know, Little Rock, Arkansas. Right. Or, gosh, I remembered because that's the Fibonacci sequence.
Right.
So,
wait till you see what comes in season 8.
Really?
Never mind. I can't talk about it. But yeah, no, you're right on. We're pushing the envelope with that. With Gus's weird knowledge and weird likes and nerdiness.
Spelling bee and everything.
Yeah.
And the comic book obsession, which, that was an amazing episode.
It's weird knowledge, but it's just like he just throws it out there and it feels so right coming out of his mouth. It does. I don't even question that he knows what the area code of Little Rock is.
Right?
Just like, of course, Gus would know that.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they don't question it either. I don't think, I mean, maybe one or two of them give him like a weird look, but they don't question it. They're just like, okay.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, well, like, because Sean is so out there, and like, you know, you just you want to believe everything that Gus says because he's the more like
he's the same one.
Okay, yeah. I have a question. Does Sean really not know what the year is, or is he just messing with everybody?
Oh God!
Does he just get bored and he's just messing with everybody?
Are you referring to the line that you didn't remember what year it is? Is that
the war? If it's 2011, we'd be at war.
Yes.
Which is one of my favorite lines of any show ever, by the way.
We call it Stupid Sean. Like, don't write. You got to make sure that you don't write Sean like a Sean line that's too stupid. But that one we always look back on that one when we're like. That one went to air, guys. This is, you know, like, that made it on the air.
I look at it, he's just bored, and he's just messing with people. He's just trying to get, like, you know, because he's just, like, not that much gets by him, so he's like, let's see what I can do if I just tell everybody it's 2008 when it's 2011.
Well, unfortunately, I think it was sincere.
Okay.
well, at least that's what the intent was there, But yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
he lives a freestyling life. He might not know what the year is.
Yeah, well, you never know. Yeah.
That actually makes me think of something. I know that Sean's character as a psychic detective is very similar to the consulting detective character of Sherlock Holmes, and how like Sean is very observant and Sherlock is very observant. And so, do you guys ever like read through the old Sherlock Holmes stories for ideas, or is that just kind of a really thin layer that you don't really dive into?
I'm not really the one to ask that, because I don't know, like, because everybody kind of comes in with, like...
their own Gus knowledge.
Yeah, and, like, we've referenced some other shows that we should we Columbo it, you know, should we do, like, this thing they did in, you know, or, like, they did this and that, you know, we take inspiration from other things, you know. But the similarities of Sherlock and Sean there's a lot of them, for sure. But nothing that pointed that I know of.
What about the similarities between Psych and The Mentalist? Just kidding, you don't have to answer that.
Touchy subject. No,
I love making Mentalist jokes.
Yes.
All the time.
We actually had to put a cap. We had to stop making Mentalist jokes in our scripts because we're like, okay, I think they get it.
So that's where it went.
Yeah, because it got to the point where we went really far with it. So we're like, okay, we can hang up the Mentalist jokes for a little bit.
Funny.
So we have Twitter question from Amy, whose Twitter handle is Chaos in General, and she has a really cool question. She noticed that you had tweeted while you were writing this episode that you were listening to Boys to Men, Bended Knee, yeah. And she wants to know how that influenced the episode.
That's so funny. Wow. People really pay attention to my Twitter feed. That's awesome. Like, that was like almost a year ago. The music that I write to, it doesn't really have a rhyme or reason to it. It's just like I'll write to things that, like, I'll just put a song on repeat sometimes, and I'll just write to it because for some reason it puts me in this state of mind like that gets me to just. It gets me going, flowing. I don't know, but like I said before about the '90s, you know, I was like, I gotta get in the '90s groove, you know. So when I was writing, because it was a kind of a '90s style episode, right? So I was like, well, what did I love listening to in the '90s? Boys to Men, you know, and then a bunch of other like ridiculous, you know, like Jodeci and like, you know, I listened to like, you know, and then I did a little grunge here and there, you know. But it got me in the single white female realm mindset.
So nice.
That was basically it. There was that, yeah. There wasn't any other reason for it.
It was no special.
No. I didn't know if people were hoping that on bended knee meant something else. Like,
oh,
she probably was. Knowing Amy, yeah. Amy totally does that. Okay. We love you, Amy. Okay, so I'm a big Lassie nerd.
Me too.
So I have to Lassie Tim nerd. So I have to ask my one Tim/Lassie related question. Yeah. You may or may not even remember the answer to it, but this picture that like came on your Instagram of Tim.
Oh my god! Frame, that's amazing.
No, it's not framed. It's my iPad.
Okay, I'm like,
not
what?
That dirty. No. It's my iPad. I'm holding it up on my iPad. No, okay. It could be a picture.
I'm sorry, I couldn't see.
No, but my question was that, if you even remember, is that the this episode were you filming Juliet Wears the Pantsuit, and is that the Juliet Wears the Pantsuit script, or which one did?
Oh, that he picked up his dog poo on
to pick up after Lucy.
Yes, it was my script, and Tim made a point of it to say that he was picking up his dog crap on my script, but we call them sides. It's just like the what we're shooting that day. So
nice.
Yes, it was, and it was a quite large poo. That he needed two scripts to scoop it up together, and he like put it. Yeah.
Based on this picture that I have professionally framed in my iPad, it does look pretty big. Then
yeah, Lucy really went for it. Yeah.
All right. I wanted to know if that was the script that was used. If he really did use your script, your hard work.
We had already shot the scene, so he was good.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're gonna let him off the hook, I guess.
I didn't think of that. It's Tim, come on.
Oh, no. I'd be like, here, Tim, use this.
Yeah, care. Exactly. Put your dog poo on me. Oh, God, please don't quote that.
I won't, I promise. Alright, cut that right now. Watch, it's going to end up in...
If you'd like.
Okay, we have another question from Twitter from Secret Agent Nerd. She said, was there anything you wanted to put in the episode, but it wouldn't fit? Or
We did shoot a lot of stuff that didn't make it in the episode. So I could say a few things about that. Everything
expand.
That was in the script. Everything that was in the script, that the shooting script was, everything was in there that I wanted to be in there and that everybody wanted to be in there. But you know, unfortunately, sometimes we shoot too much, you know, and you got to make cuts and whatever. And you know, unfortunately, we did lose some of the Woody stuff. There was more weirdness that you guys missed, unfortunately.
Like, there was that,
you know,
there was,
you know,
when Woody.
Yeah, that when Woody walks into the SCPD, and he's like, he's wearing like the paisley shirt, and the, you know, and he's like, Sean, we were riding on unicorns. You know, that whole thing was like a whole speech about like Maylene and Thumper, and like they were riding in a pastel meadow on unicorns.
That's amazing.
And you know, all this stuff. Like, I don't know. Maybe the producers thought it went a little overkill on that, but I loved it. I was sad that it had to go, but you know,
I'm sad.
Yeah. And there was something. There was another, like, there was a few more Woody lines that unfortunately had to go. But
aww.
Yeah, I know.
It sounds like you guys overwrite for Woody.
Yeah, everybody wants Woody in their episode because he's kind of just like this. You can write. He can do anything. He's just so silly and like so kind of broad, you know. So you can.
You can go anywhere.
Exactly.
Go anywhere with the script.
Exactly.
We have another question from Twitter. MovieFan90, they said, I love the references to my hometown, Little Rock, Arkansas. What made you choose us?
I wish I had an awesome answer for you, but no, it was literally we pulled a state out of our butt. Like, it was just like, Arkansas, yeah. Let's see. No, but I mean, kind of. Like we wanted it to be on the East Coast because we wanted her to be traveling from the East Coast, running away from Patrick, you know, from state to state. So we're like, that's in the middle. That kind of sounds good. Arkansas, yeah, you know, that was our logic for that. There wasn't any, like, I didn't know anybody from Arkansas or anything like that.
But, that's so cool.
But we love you, Arkansans.
Arkansas.
Yeah. Go Arkansas.
Someone did tweet in during the podcast, so shout out to a listener, Peter Gouvernat. I think that's how you say it. So hi, Peter.
If we get it wrong, sorry.
Peter wants to know where the idea for the yoga scene came from, because he thought that, I'm a cobra, I can't feel my ass, was so funny.
Yeah, I love that scene. Bill Callahan, he had done hot yoga before, and he had done Bikram yoga, and he didn't know what it was. And so he went into it, because he had done regular yoga all the time, and so he went in there, and he's like, why the hell is it so hot in here? And he said, like, literally, when he was done with the yoga session, he stood up, and he was literally had a puddle of sweat, like, right next to him. And he had to, like, wipe it up, and he was so embarrassed. And people were like, oh, my God, this guy. Yeah, he was, like, flop sweating. And so that's where it all came from. And we're just, like, Sean and Gus doing that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so then I was like, okay, well, I've never done yoga before, so I have to do this research. And then I just picked out the two most ridiculous-sounding poses that were in existence, which was locust and cobra. And just ran with it. It was fun.
Good choices.
I love when Gus, he's just drenched in sweat at the end of the episode, and the yoga instructor's like, the heater's not on.
Yeah, what's wrong
with
you?
And he's on the sympathetic sweater.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, he's great.
I like that Lauren labeled this special Stephanie questions. Because I'm special.
You are, Stephanie. Come on.
You're special. I mean, you were crowned the psych trivia champ.
I'm the trivia champ.
Stephanie won the trivia contest at Comic-Con.
Oh, wait, what? I didn't hear you. What?
It's true.
You won a trivia contest at Comic-Con?
Yeah.
You won it? Yeah. Oh, my God, that's awesome.
The one of the panel? I think the rest of the people in the room like glared at her simultaneously.
There was actually a couple people in the front row that I could hear taunting us. There was like four of us on stage, and we could hear them in the front row, like being really rude and like taunting us.
Oh,
and they're supposed psychos. I know who they are, and I got their names on a list.
Yeah, jeez, that's not cool, man.
It is not cool.
Yeah, jeez.
Why does Cuba Gooding Jr. keep making horrible movies? I'm just kidding. That's not my special question. That's not my question. I looked at the TV by numbers, I guess we'll go with. How does it feel to you to know that there were 2.46 million viewers live watching your episode, and then countless, who knows how many others, you know, later on DVR, Hulu, whatever. Yeah. I guess not Hulu yet, but, you know, it will be on Hulu. So it's going to be a vast number of people. So how does that make you feel as a writer for your first TV episode?
Well, amazing. Doesn't describe it enough. But yes, amazing. It was amazing.
Magic.
And Steve is actually, he wasn't in the office today. He was up in Hollywood doing something secret and special for Psych. And
they tweeted pictures. They were recording stuff for the musical.
I didn't know he was doing it.
There were Instagram pictures.
Her microphone.
Yeah. We know. Okay. Well, I didn't know, so I didn't want to get in trouble. they were doing that up there, and so I knew that the numbers were going to come in today, and I was kind of nervous. I was like, oh man, the newbie writer, I'm going to make the ratings tank, I'm going to look so bad. And no, my boss, he texted me, and he's like, 0.8, way to go, and like 3 exclamation points. Like, he was proud.
That's so awesome.
That made it even more exciting for me. Yeah.
I'm proud of you, just knowing that.
Me too.
Thank you. Makes me feel good. Yeah.
Awesome.
Bert, I love that you tweeted last week, I'm going to tweet every day to remind you guys that my episode is next week. And I was like, oh, this is Bert's episode. I'm so going to tweet her right now and ask her if she wants to be on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm so glad you did.
Because I found you on Instagram after Comic-Con last year, and you guys had just wrapped the episode.
Yeah. Yes,
I think
you
had taken a picture of your disc. Your CD with the title. I was that sounds fun. Juliet, where's the pantsuit?
Yeah, that's exactly when it was happening. Yeah, right around Comic-Con. I actually couldn't go to Comic-Con this year because of it. Well, I also had car troubles too, but yeah. We shot one day, and then everybody flew back to California to go to Comic-Con, and then we flew back to Vancouver to shoot the rest of the episode. So it's kind of like crazy.
That's why everyone looks so tired.
Yes.
Oh
my God! Like, and the night before, James had to get on a flight at like 4 a.m. or something, and we were all out till like 2 in the morning. I swear to you, like, it was crazy. He just couldn't get up, and he's just like a machine. The man is a machine.
Oh, man.
He can do anything. Yeah. So. Anyway.
I just remembered that in the episode that Sean said your place and not our place to Juliet. So I just now thought of that. I just remembered.
Yeah.
I just thought that was interesting. It has nothing to do with anything we're talking about, but that's just how I am.
He's still holding on to the fact. He doesn't want it to be true. So he said that.
No, he said your place.
Oh, well, he did say, no, but he did say our house in
yes, but then later on he said your place, and I thought that was but then by the end he was kind of just like letting her go, and but I thought that was really interesting, because I didn't think that he would ever be mature enough in that episode to actually say your place.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't know which time you were referring to. Yeah, but yes, at the end, right? Like, wasn't he just so... Yeah, wasn't that sweet? It just was played so well, and
it was great.
Giving us an
ounce
of
hope. Was completely just out of the blue, but we pulled it back together.
I want to throw something in before we close. I'm just looking over my notes from the episode. I loved when Juliet and what was the girl's name?
She had many names. Let's just call it Laura, just because that was her first name. Yeah, Laura.
When they were in the same outfit and the same hair, and the husband came in, and then they said whatever they said at the same time. Was so good.
Yeah.
That was so
we were coming up with that in the room. when we were coming up with that scene in the room, we were just like, oh man, this is going to be awesome. They're going to be dressed in the same outfit with the same hair, kicking this guy's ass in, like, in the dark, and he's going to be like, what is going on? He's seeing double, you know? So it was, we had so much fun with that scene. And then when Rachel Blanchard came out in the wig and the suit, and we were like, oh my God, she looks exactly like Maggie. Like, seeing them together, it was so creepy. It was creepy. It was just like hanging around on set, you know, and they were just like, hey, talking to each other, like, with the wigs on, looking exactly like each other.
It was a scary moment in Chillers at the bar when she turned around and she looked just like Juliet. That was scary.
Indeed, right? Yeah. There was also, this is funny, we had to have stunt doubles for both of them. So they, too, looked like Juliet.
There was like four of them. It was like the Matrix.
Yes.
Like Agent Smith, but Juliet.
Yes. And I'm so, Maggie was like, oh my God, we totally should have done the psych out with all four of the Maggies, you know? Yeah. And I was
that would have been great.
We just didn't have time. It was such a long day. And like
it was around Comic-Con.
So we just didn't get a chance to do it, but seeing all four of them together with those wigs and that suit on was just, it was, I had waited for that moment for a long time, because that was the moment I was like, I can't wait to see this come to life. That was my favorite moment.
We had been talking the last couple of weeks about how Sean didn't really know what it was he had done wrong. Like, he's just kind of saying, oh, I shouldn't have given her my coat, or, you know, whatever, and just kind of being really sassy with Jules. But by the end of the episode, I think you really did a good job of just showing Sean kind of just sort of, you could tell he sort of figured it out, and he takes his lumps by living with Woody. You know, he's gonna do it. He's gonna do what he has to do.
Yeah.
And of all the places he's gonna end up, he's gonna end up in an airstream with Woody next to a sewage plant with two ladies. And a bunch of safe words. Yeah. So I feel like this was the episode where he's finally accepting, like, what he did and what he needs to do to get her back. And I was wondering who's going to be able to do that, because none of the guys so far have done that. They've just made Sean sassy. So
Right. Well, we knew that, like, since it was heavy, you know, we knew we needed to do this. So I know that, like, it was a huge responsibility of mine to make sure I did it justice, you know. I made sure that, like, you know, we did make Sean, you know, kind of learn a little bit from.
It was beautifully done. It was beautiful.
Thank you so much. And that was everybody on staff, everybody knew exactly how we wanted to play Sean in that episode. So I'm glad it came through.
It did.
It came through.
It left us speechless.
Yeah, we really enjoyed the episode. We usually do episode reviews. I don't know if we're going to do one in addition to this, and we might, because I'm looking over my notes, and there were just so many funny moments I would love, you know, to go over and to relive. But thank you so much, Britt, for being on our podcast. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy, busy schedule.
Dude, I'm doing nothing. What are you talking about? No, thank you guys, like, for making me feel cool.
No, totally, you are.
I'm sure everyone wants to get in the mind of a writer. So when you do your laundry, do you fold it immediately and put it away, or do you throw it on the floor and wait till you need to use your laundry basket again?
I'm looking at my laundry on my couch right now. So there's your answer. Yeah, I would point my webcam towards it, but I'm too embarrassed.
One of those people magazine, they're just like us moments.
We make fun of those, so we get that magazine in our office and we make fun of those pages all the time.
Now you can tell them that we just had one of them.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, tell Mel Trigger hello from us, because we met.
I will. Yeah.
We loved him.
We had a good time meeting him at Comic-Con.
At the site meetup.
Yeah, at the site meetup where we all met, actually.
Oh, cool. Oh, this is so great.
Before we let you go, we do have one more question.
Two more questions.
There are two more questions. As James Lipton would say, but in a much more credible accent. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
What took you so long? No, I'm just kidding. That's really morbid and crazy. No, I don't know. I always laugh at this question because it's like you—it's like you either give it a serious answer or that.
Hey, I've got some grilled cheese waiting. Come on, let's go.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's like, Britt, I've got a full plate of cheese for you and like a stack of Pearl Jam records. Have at it. And then, yeah, thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, and then lastly here, and this is any of you guys can answer this question. What John Hughes movie are you?
Oh, yeah. Definitely a mashup of Curly Sue, Ferris Bueller, and Home Alone 2.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's the best combination.
A variety.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I remember, like, in the 90s, right? His 90s movies. Like, yes. Of course. But yeah, like I was obsessed with Curly Sue when I was young. And I don't know why. I have no idea why.
Curly Sue.
That's why I said that. Anyway.
Because I'm.
We always kind of drop that in the writers' room too. Like, because we love John Hughes, obviously.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And so we always kind of like Curly Sue. We always say that one is like the funny one.
I'm Watts from Some Kind of Wonderful in 16 Candles.
Some Kind of Wonderful.
but in 16 Candles, because I'm a middle child and my sister almost got married the weekend of my birthday, so it almost worked out perfectly, but. They had to postpone it. Yeah. So I told my mom, I was like, don't make me get out 16 candles. We will watch that movie right now.
Cool.
I'm Ferris Bueller's Day Off all the way.
All the way.
Yeah.
For sure
all
you
way,
are.
Yeah. We're actually trying to do an homage episode to Ferris.
That would be amazing.
Well,
if you have someone, you know, lip sync, twist and shout, I'm just saying.
Yeah, there's a lot to mine from that movie. Yeah.
Well, Gus is totally like the uptight friend.
Mm-hmm. Cameron.
I know, right? Yeah.
Cameron Fry. He's totally a Cameron Fry.
Drive the blueberry, you know, crash the work vehicle. Oh man.
Exactly,
you could go
so right? Yeah. That's so funny. Like we really been talking about doing that. So I don't know if we will or whatever. But,
that would be brilliant. It would be amazing. That would be the first in line.
I think you should write that one, Britt.
Ooh, I like it.
Okay. There you go.
I could see you guys totally using the scene where he pretends to be sick and he's hooked up that model to like slightly roll over and snore in a flashback. Yeah. Like with young Sean trying to sneak out on Henry.
Oh yes. That's amazing.
Perfect.
We just wrote it for you.
I will pitch that in the room, and I will credit you.
Yes, special thanks.
You can come back on a podcast and tell us all about it.
Heck yeah. Please do. Please come again. Please
I
come
say
again.
If there's anything you want to talk about anything, you should just tell us, and you can come on anytime.
Okay. All right.
Even if you want to talk to us about Iron Man, I mean, we're going to do it's all
we're
good.
We're going to do a man crush episode. We talk about our first TV crushes.
Oh my
god. Ooh. Ooh, who was mine? I don't know. When Leonardo DiCaprio was in Growing Pains.
Mm.
Good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. But that was just off the top of my head. I'm sure there are many.
Hobbit 2.
Yeah, you could come join us for The Hobbit. You could join us to talk about The Hobbit.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And you could bring your dad.
I know, right? He would totally do it. When we watched The Hobbit together, and he has the sword, the Sting sword, like he owns it. He owns all the weapons, so like he was holding the sword when we were watching The Hobbit.
I love it. Oh man,
he's great.
That's awesome.
We can do The Hobbit in costume.
Oh, please. I've been wanting to put the Arwen costume back on for years. Please.
There you go. It'll give you an excuse to do so.
I had elf ears, too, and everything. It was like...
Nice.
That's awesome.
I love it. Well, thanks, Britt. We are going to sign off the podcast now. Thank you, everyone who tweeted in your questions. And if you guys are watching this live and would like to hear it recorded, it will be on iTunes in the next couple of days.
Woohoo!
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Britt. That was awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks for listening to this episode, our interview with writer Britt Hilgers. Britt, thank you so much for taking time to be on this podcast. It's such a joy to be able to get an inside look, a behind-the-scenes glimpse to some of our favorite shows. I love hearing about how James and Dulay just collaborate and how the director, whoever's filming, just lets the camera roll and lets James and Dulay go back and forth. I love hearing just how the writing is going this season with the kind of breakup of Shules, of James and Maggie's characters, Sean and Juliet. It's very tense. We're just past the middle of the season and it's getting very exciting, and I cannot wait to see how the writers are going to resolve this. But we know that Juliet had to find out that Sean had to come clean with her, and it's cool to see Juliet see that Sean does have skills, that there is a little something more, or something, as Juliet said. Tune in Wednesday night, May 1st, for the next episode of Psych. I'm pretty sure this is the episode where Sean runs for mayor. Our podcast will be reviewing this episode live Friday night, May 3rd, which a lot of you will probably be at the midnight show of Iron Man, but if you are home, we will be live podcasting on our Google Plus page and our YouTube page. You can find us on YouTube/FanCasticFanPodcast, and we will have a guest with us next week. We look forward to reviewing this episode, and if you want to live tweet us any questions while you're watching the episode Wednesday or Thursday, or when you are listening to our podcast, please feel free to do so. You can tweet us at FanCasticFP. And as you could hear in this podcast episode, we did take live questions on the air. Those were so fun to have Britt answer. Hope you guys enjoyed that. You can also email us anytime at FanCasticFanPodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to follow any of the Fantastic ladies, you can follow me, Lauren Galloway, on Twitter at Lauren_Galloway. You can follow Lacey at Frankenstein, and you can follow Stephanie at StephersRG. We look forward to podcasting with you this Friday. Thanks for listening to Fantastic.